Blog Talk Radio. And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from High Atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. This is our, hold on a second, three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports. And are you ready for some football? That's right, folks. It seems like a minute and a half ago, Jeff and I were signing off from our Super Bowl edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show. We wound up the 2021 season. Well, we're about to kick off 2022, and boy, oh boy, did it get here fast. Summer's gone, we're heading to fall, and of course that means football, and we got a great, great show for you tonight. We'll break it all down for you. We're going to get you the Jets, the Giants. We're going to go over their schedules together. We're going to give you our predictions for the league. We'll go division by division. We'll give you some big games for the week, and of course we will talk about all the big things. Of course, the first thing would be the absolute disgrace that is the New York football jet coach, Robert Saleh. And let me show you the back page of the post. Look at this. Flip Wilson. Look at that. Jets go from saying Zach could play in week one till he's out in week four. Boy, oh boy, this is a disgrace. I will be bringing news to you all the way through. We'll talk about Aaron Judge in his pursuit of 61. And we'll get to much more and more of that when we get on. Jeff's got to take care of a little business. Let me get my dad on right away, and let's talk a little baseball to start the show, even though it's the football edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show. Let's get my dad on the phone. Hey, Pops.
Hey, Tom. What's up,
buddy? Not much, bud. What's going on, Dad?
No, not much. Getting ready for football.
I would say the answer to that is yes, Dad. I mean, unless we got a little football tonight, should be a very good football game, I would think. Jets and Giants this Sunday. We kick off the season with this weekend, and that should be a lot of fun. We still got some meaningful baseball. We got a lot of football. We got Aaron Judge chasing 62. Should be a lot of fun.
I tell you, the more I watch it, I got to give this judge all the credit in the world.
Okay.
Because technically, he's on a team right now that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got What do you think? Six rookies?
Well, here's what I would say. I don't think it sucks. I just think that they're reft with injuries, and they're playing a lot of guys out of the minors. I mean,
well,
you got.
I'm not disputing.
It's a minor league team.
But you talk about, I saw when Maris was playing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he had you couldn't pitch around him because you had Mickey Mantle behind him.
Mm-hmm.
You had Bill Scowen. You had Hector Lopez. So they couldn't walk him.
Yeah, sure.
Technically. So that's why I give him more credit than I did with Maris.
Right.
Not saying that what Maris did wasn't
great. Sure.
But I think...
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you look at Judge last night, and he I think he had four walks. Three of them were intentional walks. I mean, and until people start hitting in front of him and back of him, he's going to have a hard time getting a pitch to hit. And it's going to affect them down the stretch. They got to get some guys back healthy and playing. I mean, just that's the bottom line. All these young kids got to step up.
Well, it's very hard. And I give them a lot of credit,
mm-hmm.
these kids, because you're playing under a lot of pressure. And I don't know what team this is. Is this the real Yankees, or was the one before everybody got hurt? Were those the real Yankees?
Yeah.
Who's going to show up for the playoffs?
Well, you know, Bob, who's playing for the Yankees is the question. So if everybody's back and healthy, Rizzo, LeMayu, Carpenter, if everybody's back in the playoffs and everybody's healthy, we're going to see if this team. But again, they've been out. Some of these guys have been out for 2 months. I mean, I like to bash the Yankees sometimes too, but in this particular case, all I can say is, if you're Cashman and Steinbrenner, what could you do? You put a team out there at the All-Star break. They were talking about 120 wins, and now you're lucky to get to 100.
I don't blame Steinbrenner.
Yeah.
I don't blame Cashman.
Yeah.
I think what they're doing. They did what they did last year, the year before. They came up with guys,
mm-hmm.
they played, and they got what they could get out of them. I just, you don't know who's who. Is this when these guys come back? Because none of these guys are really, they're just not superstars. Besides Judge, there's nobody on that team that you can,
Well, even the regular team, let's be honest, the regular team, Rizzo's a good player, LeMayo's a good player. Maybe you want to call Stanton a superstar. I would question that. But, this team, even when it was winning tons of games, there wasn't superstars up and down the lineup.
They
just had a bunch of guys playing really well. Now those guys are either hurt or not playing as well. So, I mean, listen, they're going to make the playoffs. What they're going to be in the playoffs, I don't know. It's going to be a crapshoot right now. This team is hurting. I mean, listen, you see the laundry list of players who are out. I mean, there are more guys on. There are just as many guys on that thing as there are on the regular roster. There are 20-something guys who are spending time on the DL, and you're just not going to win that way. So, hey, Gumare. So, yeah, before I get too far along, let's bring on my co-host and the sexiest man on his side of the screen as we get ready for some football tonight, the Hard Rockin' Sports Style. We will be bringing you lots of talk. We'll break down the Jets and the Giants. We'll give you our opinion on their schedules. We'll make our picks for the season, and I'm going to count everything we do this tonight, and I will be bringing it up to Jeff along the way. But there's no better way to start the show besides having my dad on to get my partner in crime, Mr. Jeff Towinski, on. What's up, Jefe?
First of all, hello, Mr. Florio. How are you?
How are you, Jeff?
I'm fine. How's it going today?
Very good, very good.
I want to apologize in advance.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You're going to find out.
Here we go.
For what a fucking slow, retarded person your son is.
Because I show you the truth? Because I show you the truth?
Why? Because they said that they're going to start.
No. Wait. Let's call it right. The guy came out there and said, there's a chance he can play in week one, and a day later came out.
If I go play lotto, there's a chance I can hit it too.
And a day later, because he ain't playing for 3 weeks to a month. I mean,
this is something I knew in the beginning of the week.
Oh, my God. This is disgraceful. It's a disgrace.
I'm going to leave you guys.
No, you got to mediate this. You can't go nowhere.
What a disgrace. Oh, yeah. You got a coach who doesn't even know if his starting quarterback is that close to being ready to play. It's a disgrace.
Wait a minute, Tommy.
Yeah.
Baseball sports is noted for making up ailments.
Yeah.
Look at you, what's his name? The pitcher for the Mets. Where did you ever hear your left side is tired and your right side is not?
I got Come you. On. I'm with you. But when
make up these diseases as they go along.
I agree.
I understand what Jeff's saying, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, you
can never be honest about
You can't be the head coach of the football team and not know that your starting quarterback is 3 weeks from playing, not 1 week. He's not even close.
They already said that.
It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. It's a
Maybe
disgrace.
If you didn't get all your news from that fucking rag publication that you read, then you would have been up on it. What is that? It's like that's fucking like the Islander or something that you got there. Get the fuck out of here with that thing.
What a disgrace. I got video. You want video of your coach? I got video of him saying, oh, yeah, he might be
Stop
ready. We're going to see how he reacts. Wait a second. We're going to see how he reacts to working out. Oh, by the way, his reaction to working out was he can't play for another month. This isn't week to week. This wasn't like, well, if he can't play week one, he might play week two. He can't play week one, so he might be back later in the season. What happened? Wait a second. What are you talking about? How could you go from he might play Sunday to it's a month away? It's disgraceful.
Does he even know
where the building is?
First 4 weeks of the season.
Does he know where the building is? Has he ever been to the building yet? Has he shown up for a game or practice? It sounds like, no, him. I'm asking if your coach, has your coach showed up for a practice yet? That's what I want to know. Because he doesn't seem to know where his team is right now.
Meanwhile, the New York Giants.
Don't bring up the Giants.
Now we're ripping the Giants.
Wait.
I'm asking you that a question.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what the definition
they
of insanity is?
They call it deflection.
It's trying the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result.
Oh.
So, in other words, they're insane for starting Daniel Jones in a row. Meanwhile, the guy ain't done shit in 4 years.
Oh.
Like, it's going to change.
They made
sure that they cut ties with him next year. They didn't pick up that fifth year. But they got him again as the quarterback. And who's the only one that wants to invest in a Daniel Jones jersey? That guy right next to you on the screen. Yeah, there you go. Not him. The one you're hiding behind, Zach Wilson. St. Zach. Don't hide behind St. Zach.
Oh, another injury-prone, wasted pick for the New York Jets. And they have a quarterback who hasn't even seen him. He hasn't even been to the building, obviously, because he thought he might play Sunday, and he's not playing for a month. Oh, my God. It's disgraceful. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even know how I'm going to talk about this tonight. All night long, I'm going to talk about this.
The Yankee game is on. I got to watch the Yankees.
Go ahead, Pop. You don't want to be around to see me.
You don't need me.
You got to, Pop.
Be here, Mr. Floyd. You don't want to be here for this now.
Yeah.
Go home where it's
Take
safe.
Take care, buddy.
See you, Pop.
See you later.
That's my daddy Jackson every week with us. Again, folks, just for you guys tuning in right now, if you haven't noticed it, Robert Saleh hasn't met his quarterback yet. He thought that he might show up for practice on Tuesday and actually play Sunday. And then realize, he still needs another month. I shudder to think what the rest of the Jets season is going to look like when you start that out that way. Jeff, how was your week?
Fine up until this bullshit.
Should we play the video of it? Because I have video of him saying all of this.
Sure, play whatever you want. I don't give a fuck.
I almost don't want to disgrace you and your team.
No, it's a disgrace.
It's a disgrace.
What do you think the guy is going to say? What do you think he's going to say?
The truth. How about the truth? We don't think we have no. How about this? We have no idea when he's going to be ready. We're going to give him a try, but I have no idea when he's actually going to be ready.
So what is it? That's what he said. What is he going to? What do you think he's going to say days before the first game?
Hold on.
When the guy you're starting is your number one quarterback, Joe Flacco.
I'm going to show you exactly what he has to say. Isn't he like
0-18 Flacco in his last 8
years? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you love Gantt charts? Here's how easily you...
Hold on. I'm going to bring that up for you in a second. I'm just working my way over to it.
Felt good.
Hold on.
Robert Saleh said the Jets put Zach Wilson through a workout this morning and that it went well. Everything looked good and felt good. And now they're just waiting to see how his knee responds today or tomorrow. And then we will have a decision on whether Zach is playing on Wednesday. I've maintained over the last few weeks that a week one return seems too soon. But I trust the Jets staff to make the right decision. They know how important this year is for both Zach and the team. They're just going to announce whether he's playing.
I know. Hold on.
Did you play the fucking clip?
Oh, my, I did. Hold on.
You're playing some third world fucking guy reading off a piece of paper.
Hold on.
And we'll have an answer for everybody on Wednesday.
So there's a possibility he could play on Sunday. Is what
possible.
Is that surprising?
No, I want to see the video.
Hold on. I'm watching it. You're watching the video.
That means nothing to me.
Hold on. I'm going to share it for you because I want you to see.
Please, I want to see it.
I'm going to show it to you right now.
Some of the guidelines that are put on.
And hello, guys. Hello, Mike. Hello, Robert Finetti. You believe what he's doing?
Hold on. Here it is. Let me rewind it.
So when you say.
Hold on.
We're going to see how the knee responds today and tomorrow, and we'll have an answer for everybody on Wednesday.
So there's a possibility he could play on Sunday.
Is
that surprising at all, Robert, given what the kind of initial prognosis was?
No, everyone heals differently. It's like I said, we'll see what happens tomorrow and all that stuff, but everyone has a different...
He should just admit that he hasn't seen Zach Wilson in about 7 weeks and has no idea.
He looks about as interested in his interview.
But he lies. He lied. Hold on. Let's finish the rest of the lies he's telling. Please. More lies.
Yes, because we're going to base all of this on a minute and
30
seconds
video.
Can't even hear it.
They're guidelines, but everyone responds differently, I guess.
So when you say you guys worked him out, like what does that entail exactly?
Just putting him through some workouts, running and all that stuff and – I mean, whatever they do, I wish I'd...
He wasn't even there. Look at this. He's admitting he wasn't even there. What a disgrace. Holy cow. I shouldn't even do the show tonight. I shouldn't even do the show with a man who roots for a team where a coach doesn't even show up to watch his number one quarterback work out to see if he's going to be ready to play. He just brings a load of horse shit. This is disgraceful.
Get your phone up. I just sent you something.
Go ahead.
Wait for it to go off and then watch it. I want to see your face.
Just went off? I see what he wrote. That's your best answer? That's your best answer? Now I got this half a happy horse shit with the Jets. The guy did it. This is what I'm going to do for you. We're gonna call the Jets next week on the show. And we're going to offer Robert Salah I'm going to offer him directions and a ride to the Jets facility so he can show up for a change. Because if you don't even know that your quarterback is still 3 weeks away, what a disgrace. If this was Joe Judge, you would have been screaming your ass off about this. Now it's Robert Salah.
First of all, I do not give a flying fuck what Joe Judge does. All right? Because you're worried about Robert Salah, you don't even know who the fuck your coach is.
Joe
Judge.
Joe Judge
isn't even in the fucking NFL.
I can't bring Brian Daboll. Daboll's an actual real coach.
Brian
Daboll. He shows up. Oh, my God. You got a coach doesn't even know that his guy's not even close to playing.
Holy shit.
What a disgrace. Folks, I am ashamed that my friend of 40 years is wearing that disgraceful hat. The only thing worse.
You want to really?
Look at this. Look at this other disgrace on the screen. He's going to come over here with this happy horse shit. Can't even win the division. Yeah, another guy. Yeah. Another. Keep bringing the Maloika with you. Hold on. Let's hand it to the screen. Of course, we do love him to death. But he's the other guy bringing a bunch of happy horse shit with his Mets and now.
Where is he? I don't even see him.
Oh, he's here. Let's get him right on the screen. There he is.
Tony, what's going on?
Listen, I am ripping your boy Salah. I'm ripping him apart right now. Does he even know where the stadium is? Let me know if he knows where the stadium is.
I could honestly fucking say that. And maybe it's because the Mets don't look like a pile of donkey shit. But fucking, this team for the last fucking 10 years have kick my balls around my fucking massive donkey cock. So I don't really give a fuck about this bald-headed fucking hump that's on there.
I love it.
Jeff, I do this. Yeah. Fucking Barkley's going to get a fucking turf toe and things going to explode.
Oh, please.
But don't fucking let me do it. You know what I'm capable of.
Please.
Listen, I don't understand. I've been begging you for years to lay the smackdown on this fucking team. You ain't done dick. I want to see.
I don't think I haven't done dick. Listen to me. That fucking team last year couldn't score eight touchdowns last year. They were blowjobs. And they were going to give the coach a job for another year, but he was so fucking stupid, he talked himself out of a job being a dick.
Listen, I'm not arguing any of it, but my coach knew exactly where the stadium was. And he knew that he just said his number one quarterback a week before the season is working out, and he has no idea what happened at the workout.
I'm going to give you the real answer. You fucking ready?
This
you
is,
want the real answer?
I don't have to give you a Maloike for the Jets. They got a permanent Maloike all over him.
He's rubbing it in your face.
Please.
The Jets
have a permanent Maloike. A permanent. Like this.
Eyes wide open.
Please.
Wide open.
Please.
It's over now.
You're both wearing the green. It's just big black.
A small Cessna's going to land on the fucking Giants sideline and take out half the fucking team. Fuck their mouth.
And we still be now better what? Than they still be better than Jets. And we and my,
still, wait a minute.
And my still and
no,
my
no,
coach would.
Your team is a blowjob. Don't even because you won fucking two Super Bowls 11 years ago.
Four.
Years, stop.
Four.
That's it.
Four.
Two by luck. Don't forget that. Three.
Four.
By luck.
You got a guy. Fucking Buffalo.
Please.
Fucking homosexual. What did he do? He's a lesbian.
Let me
tell you. He was fucking wide right.
Let me ask you guys something. Did it even make trophies when you win the Super Bowl 100 years ago? I think it was made of wood.
Know.
It was probably made of wood back then. It probably termites ate it.
It could have been.
It was in Joe
Namath's.
It was in Joe. It was in Joe Namath's Bagakia, and it fucking the termites got it. That's where it was. That's where he started.
You could go on past shows. Most important Super Bowl ever won.
Damn right. The only reason we fucking kicked their cocks in it, come on. Fucking Colts were 19-point favorites. Shut up.
All I know is you got a coach whose number one quarterback worked out, and you guys, he had no idea. I don't even know how they worked him out. I have no idea if he's anywhere. 4 weeks.
Do you know why he's spewing
all
this fucking stupidity? Do you know why he's spewing all this fucking stupidity?
Yeah, I think he had
because
the
he's trying
energy drinks. He's all hyped up.
Oh, please.
That, and also a certain team in pinstripes that got hit so fucking hard with this that 16 fucking players went down.
Please.
And the one who had the worst, I felt really bad for. I felt like, you know, I should take the fucking thing off. Fuck that. That Vagisil wet fucking smelly cunt of a Stanton. I'm embarrassed that he's even a fucking human being. He's a big pussy.
So wait. So you got a pitcher who said, my left side hurts a little, so I got my right.
He's one fucking start.
Oh, my God.
One start.
Vagisil. There's nothing wrong. My side's a little. We're half a game up, and my side's a little tight. I better not pitch tonight. What a fucking disgrace. Don't talk about the judge. Don't talk about Stanton.
How about Garrett Cole?
Pitches every day.
I'm supposed to throw the ball.
Pitches every
day. And they're singing the national anthem. He's a big cut. He throws fucking 98 miles an hour. No, he should jive off and throw it in his hand and use it as spider tech.
Wait till about 2 weeks from now when the ground wakes up and goes, I think my arm might hurt. I think I better not pitch for a year.
As I said to you clearly before, he was out half the year. The other guy was out 8 weeks and was still in first place. So please.
Look what division you're playing.
The opposite of above me, below me, Tom.
Oh my God.
No, who else I say to blow me? That little fucking 3.5-inch fucking midget prick. Your friend Pete DiAgostino pounding my ass. I don't fucking care. Look at Jeff. I'll ask a responsible fan. If you were the Mets or your team, take the Mets out of it.
Okay.
Who would you rather have to play over the next 16 games? Would you like to be in Seattle for three? Would you like to then be and for San Francisco for three. And then seven games with the fucking Phillies. And they got the Marlins. Hold on. And the Mets only got three fucking hard games, the Brewers. Who would you rather have what schedule? The weakest schedule or the shittiest schedule?
Of course I would, but unfortunately we play in a real conference. Yeah, that's
can
all.
Can I answer that question?
Please, John. Please.
I don't follow baseball all that well, but I do know that at this point in time, if I was to follow baseball, I would have to go with the New York Mets.
Wow.
Team in New York.
Wow.
If I had a hat on, I'd take my hat off.
Well, you know what, he said something. It doesn't surprise me because, Jeff, while he doesn't follow baseball, your coach, Robert Salah, doesn't follow football very well either. So it makes sense. It makes sense. Total sense.
The coaches that you
listen. Your quarterback's going to put his helmet on. He's going to buckle the chin strap, and he's going to fucking pinch a nerve in his neck. And his pussy's going to be fucking wet for the next 6 years.
To answer your question on the schedule, of course, I'd rather this easy schedule, but here's what's going to happen. Your Mets are going to go through this nice and easy schedule. They'll make the playoffs by a game. They'll win by a game and a half. It doesn't matter.
I don't give a fuck if it's by a pubic hair.
Then they'll play some real teams, and they'll get their heads handed to them because Taiwan Walker is a blowjob.
Kind of Palestra is fucking batting fourth. And you got a guy who gets an epidural when every fucking woman gives birth, and this twat, what happens? He can't fucking move now. He's standing there like a fucking paraplegic. Stop it!
Oh, my God. How? Listen, we could go lineup to lineup. You guys got maybe three guys who can hit in that team, but that's okay. I wish the Mets to do well. I want them to make the playoffs because then I can watch – all of them fall apart in the playoffs.
You're throwing that all over the place tonight.
That's okay. Bring the hammer. We already got. Listen, think about it. With all your hammering and the eyes and the whole bit like this, it looks like Bell's palsy. But at the end of the day, my Yankees are still in first place.
Listen, I can't help it. You're in an absolute blowjob division.
If we got to play the Phillies and the Marlins,
even the Braves, where you'd be 3.5 behind the Braves. Jeez. So stop it.
And weren't they the best team in the majors at one point?
Yes, absolutely.
10.5 games out of being the best team in the majors.
Listen.
They were the best team by far then, and then they came back to reality.
Absolutely, 100%.
Unfortunately, they've got to the point because of this.
Oh, my God, here we go.
By fucking every one of those. Before that, there was no injuries, nothing. And for you cock knockers to fucking question that, and to top it off, Jeff, I wish you were a Mets fan. Because I'll tell you this, I got some Mets fan friends of mine that are big fucking cunts. What a big C, big fucking, you jinxed him. If I was in front of my friend Mike, I would have slapped the nuts off him. And the same bug Mikes, Mike fucking Bassanti and Mike Delfino. What the fuck is wrong with you? Look at the schedule. Have you ever heard me optimistic about my teams ever?
No, not really.
No. How could you be? You're the Mets and the Jets, man. Well, how could you be?
I call it fucking like it is.
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
The reason I said all along, if we can get past fucking the Dodgers and still be in first place, we got it left. Now, did we lose 2 out of 3 from fucking the Nationals and was horrible? So what? We won 2 out of 3 from the Privates. You fucking blowjobs split against the A's, lost 2 or 3 from fucking the Angels. But it's not even a matter of that. It's just a matter from here on in. I'm basing it on the schedule.
I
should win the division.
Absolutely.
And I don't think we're going to the World Series, but I think we got a shot. Why? Max and the Jesus Christ on the cross to God.
I signed her. That's it. Today. Yeah, I heard that Max Scherzer tripped and fell over blowing bubbles, and he might be out for a month.
I signed her. you fucking blew bubbles when you were kid. He was asking for you.
Come on. Oh. And you know, and here's DeGrom.
Tommy,
oh, wait.
I don't know where he
DeGrom.
Is, Bubbles.
Hi.
Blow you.
My name is DeGrom. I woke up today, and I might be hurt, so I might not pitch for a year. We still don't know what happened to him.
God.
Nobody knows why he was out for a year.
He's going to miss one game. Who gives a fuck? Other than the Yankee fans that don't have this fucking thing.
I tell you, I saw the real Mets for three games. When DeGrom doesn't pitch.
Not the last two, those
games with DeGrom pitches, you'll be fine. Other than that, good luck.
Let me ask you some comments.
Good
luck. Go ahead, baby. Yeah, he's just talking out of his ass.
Yeah, yeah. What happens next year when the Mets get Judge?
Oh, my God.
The Mets ain't
and listen
Judge.
To me.
Here's what I think is going to happen.
Nice. Because the Yankees are going to panic so much. I hope Steve says to him, hey, listen. You want to stay with these fucking jerk-offs with the mystique that said, oh, we offered him the richest contract in Yankee history. Are you fucking kidding me? They're fucking embarrassing. He should have never got the free agency. Should have signed him. You get from that guy in fucking sales that are just for people coming in the park and buying the fucking shit, the Judge gavel and all sort of, the fucking guy's worth it. Steve's going to go, we'll give you $50 million to get away from those jerk-offs. And then, you know, the guy said, oh, no, we can't let that happen. So you'll spend $55 million, and I'll giggle my fucking ass off, you fucking cocksucker.
Listen, either way, Judge will be a Yankee next year. There is no doubt in my mind.
I hope so. At $55 million,
and when the Yankees offered DeGrom $40 million, and your boy Cohen
wants to go to that blowjob place. He can smell a blowjob from a miles away. And Bubbles is still asking.
Bubbles,
I'm on the phone with him.
Oh please.
Yes, I know he blew you when you was a kid.
My side's itchy. I might not pitch for a couple weeks.
Who am I
not pitch
for a couple weeks?
The guy with the bad side. I got a bad side.
All right, how about this? Let's make a bet there, big fucking Matt Brett.
Come on, go ahead.
How about this?
Go ahead.
Dinner that he misses one start and he'll be in to set the next start.
You got it. I'll buy you dinner. I will buy you dinner if he only misses one start.
Okay.
One dinner. You got it.
Listen, I got fucking Mo. It comes from fucking my that fucking Lotus Flower with Brent and that fucking other cut. I know fucking Jeff loves when I call him Cumdrew. Like, who the fuck is Cumdrew? That fucking cross-dressing fuck.
And
you got Krusty Crustacean, the whitest fucking albino I've ever seen in my life. if he closes his eyes, he could disappear. That fucking honky.
I have to apologize to everybody. I've lowered the standards of the show to get down to the Mets and Jets level. But these are what I have to do to have some fun with my dear friends and their crooked way of thinking. But that's okay. We want Jeff to think that he's got a real coach and Carmine to think that the Mets have a half a chance. When we all know that the teams that wear the pinstripes and the red, white, and blue in New Jersey, those are the real teams. Those are the ones with championships under the belt. Those are the real teams.
Your Giants going to have a better record than my piece of shit Jets?
That's a good question. I have to think about that. I haven't really given much thought to records this year. I would tell you the fact that your coach doesn't even know when the quarterback's actually going to play, I would say, I think the Giants can win a game. Yeah.
How about this? Flacco with no fucking personality.
Oh, my God.
He's going to shoot fucking loads, and I hope he goes 4-0 just to fuck things up. And they go, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this right
I
now.
I hope so,
he
too.
He isn't coming back in 4 weeks. This is the same thing with our offensive tackle. He went, he'll be out 4 weeks. The pussy was out all year, and he's out again.
So that's just that. But...
So I'll say Wilson will be available, but will sit there with his thumb up his ass because they might, if there's a fucking football guard up there, let the Jets be 7-1 to say, we can't fucking do it. Let's just cut the kid. I'd jerk off. I'd be so excited. I can't think. Let me tell you, Jeff, I hate a fucking guy who is always fucking hurt.
I agree with that. I listen, if you're a pro athlete, you get your ass up and play football, you play baseball, that's what you do. I agree. Listen, I couldn't agree with you more. I think today's players in general are soft, and I mean that. I don't think that these guys push themselves to playing games that, you know, guys in yesteryear would have played in. And that's the nature of the game today. That's just the way they do it.
First of all, he looks like he's in about eighth grade. He doesn't look like he's tough enough to be in the NFL.
Right,
you look at some of these other quarterbacks, they're of normal size. Fucking Wilson looks like he belongs on fucking a high school football team.
Jeff, you got to say this. I'd like to put two of these and one of these in his fucking mother. My God. She definitely deserves this stinky pinky. Blink. And then go up and then be nice. Degada, 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 degada. Boom, boom, boom. And then use four fingers and smash it with the thumb chaser. Why not? She's fucking hotter than balls.
While he sits and watches.
Oh, boy.
Watch me smash. That's a good one, Jeff. Watch me straighten your mother's box out, kid. This might toughen you up.
Guys, again, I got to apologize. We've sank to new lows.
Who's it? Do you have a sponsor after this?
No, we got nobody left. Everybody just ran. They all just ran out the door.
Well, guys, I apologize. even though these are the thoughts of my very dear friend, Tommy, the scumbag Florio, and my wonderful friend, Jeff Tulloor. Jeff T, you are the fucking best. If I could grow my Jake like that, I fucking would love it. I'm just too afraid I'd be eating it half the time.
You get used to the taste of hair after a while. It's all right.
Come on, I love you to death, man. I thank you so much for coming up, man. I appreciate it.
My fellas, I'm glad to get the blood pressure up. I'm still alive.
But the dead...
Second heart attack did not fucking kill me. But the Mets might.
Couple more injuries to roll. Be good, Come on. I'll talk to you off the air, pal. Take care. That's Carmine. That's he's the best. He's absolutely the best.
Heart attack?
Yeah, yeah, he had a heart attack not too long ago. It's got to be a year and change ago. Yeah. Jeff, we're getting old, pal. We're getting old. But thanks for everybody tuning in. See Frankie Catalano's out there. My man Robert Ficciarelli and Johnny Collins is out there. I saw Louis Pica. So we got a lot of people checking in tonight. We got a lot of football talk to get to. I don't know what happened to Jeff. He just left us. But again, thanks for tuning in. I hope you guys had a good holiday weekend. And we got lots to talk about. So, again, the Yankees are up 2-0 on a Miguel Andujar home run. And, they're beating up on the Twins, what they have to do. This is a big weekend coming up for the Yankees. If you're the Yankees, you need two or three. You got to put some distance between you and the Rays. So we got some bats working tonight, but it's Higashioka first for a single in the gap. Jeff's back. Let's get him back up. Yeah, what you back there, man?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Will you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
We need to make a few adjustments quickly. We got 23 minutes.
Yep, let's do that right now. So I got him up on screen. So here's the deal, Jeff. The only players we have to worry about tonight, right this minute, are the guys who are playing in tonight's game, which we only have a couple of Ram players. So.
We got Aaron Donald. Right?
Well, first of all, we got our tight end. We have is Tyler Higbee. He's playing tonight. We could substitute Darren Waller from the Raiders. They're playing the Chargers this Sunday. So, do we want to leave Tyler Higbee in the lineup, or do we want to maybe bring in Darren Waller?
Leave Tyler Higbee in there.
Okay. Now we got the next thing.
I think that'll be except let me see, what is the other one?
Darren Waller.
Waller. Yeah, let's leave Higbee in there.
Okay. Next up, we got one of our receivers. We got James Cook.
That fucking wide receiver Lazard. To be honest with
you. Lazard right now, Alan Lazard isn't on lineup. And again, it's no rush. We can think about him still because none of these guys are playing tonight. Other than that, the only guy we have to talk about would be: do we want to have Aaron Donald in the lineup over Micah Parsons? Micah Parsons is playing Tampa Bay on Sunday night. Aaron Donald plays tonight. So if we don't get Aaron Donald in the lineup, we can't use him after tonight.
Aaron Donald, you use
Micah Parsons.
Let's leave Micah Parsons. I think that there's going to be some questions with Tampa Bay and their their offensive line and everything.
Solid thinking.
Parsons play.
Yep. So that's it. All right. Now our lineup is good for tonight. And then before Sunday, we have to sit the rest
of them. Yep. I don't know. Lazard, there's questions, just too many questions, man.
There is some questions. I think he can go. He can be a stinker.
He did not practice.
Yeah, well, again, we'll have to set him in the lineup. We can wait till Sunday, and then on Sunday we'll see what usually Sunday morning they announce who's playing and who's not playing, and then if we want to make the switch, we can. If we want to leave him, we can certainly do that.
You're going to remember to do that?
Oh, I've been living the fantasy dream. So Sunday morning, you and I will have a conversation, and we'll see how it plays out.
All right, and where's our – okay, there's our quarterback. Okay.
So –
all right, so then we're good here now.
Yeah, we're good for tonight, so we can move on from the fantasy world. And Jeff and I are teamed up. We are co-managers or co-coaches for the Hard Rockin' Sports Fantasy Team in the Staten Island Sandlot Football League, along with our good buddies Frank Jeffrey, Matt Salitri, John Marhefka, Frankie Catalano, Joe Bartelli, Iggy Mo, a couple of Tony Jordan. We got the whole 10-man league and. We kick off tonight. So, like I said, with Jeff, we're talking football. We're goofing around and have some fun with each other, but it's time to get a little serious and talk some real football. Well, you know what? Before we get to football, I want to just finish up our baseball conversation, and I know you wanted to get to some of the guys who've hit 61.
Well, yeah. Well, I want to get that up right now. What I was doing is last night I was looking for something. I forgot exactly what I was looking for, and I came across it.
Okay.
And what I saw, I was kind of like, I was like, wow, I didn't realize, but there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people other than Roger Maris and Babe Ruth that have hit 60 plus home runs over the years.
Okay.
Now, most of them happened in 1998, 99,
mm-hmm.
2001.
Yep. Yeah.
So I just want to talk about that because everybody acknowledges Barry Bonds as the home run leader.
Not everybody. I would tell you.
I mean, he's recognized in the stat books,
yes,
and everything.
100%, yes, 100%. Yes. Yep.
And I just realized, like, that McGuire had 70 home runs. And it's like a loss because of the steroid issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lost, a lost achievement. Also, you know, Sammy Sosa, 66, Mark McGuire, 65. Sammy Sosa, 64 and 63. Now, these are achievements that, you know, if these guys weren't on steroids or allegedly on steroids,
mm-hmm,
when they did that, especially Sammy Sosa, was actually changed colors.
Yeah. I don't know how – I didn't know steroids changed colors, but go ahead.
Yeah. Think about that for a minute, man. That was a 2 or 3 year stretch where these guys were – putting up some incredible fucking numbers.
Sure, and everybody was saved baseball. A lot of people think it saved baseball. So sure, absolutely.
And if you notice, Barry Bonds is only in there for the 73.
Okay.
He's not. I mean, I'm sure if you go down the list, that was like the first 587 places or something for highest home runs in a season.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the only time that I saw him, like, up there with all the huge numbers was the 73.
Right.
Is it possible for anyone to hit that many home runs without having some kind of help?
Jeff, here's the thing. Nobody's, we haven't even had, we've only had two guys. If we take, let's take out all the guys who hit 61 in the questionable period. In the entire history of baseball, you've only had two guys who've gotten over 61 homers, right, in the season. Babe Ruth and Roger Maris, right, or over 60. So, to me, if you take out all those guys, now all of a sudden in a short period of time, you had a bunch of guys doing it. So to me, if you take all that out and people go out there and play the game legitimately, no, I don't believe that 70 home runs is a possibility. It just, a normal human being just is going to wear it down, and I don't believe it's possible.
Well, I don't believe it's possible either.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you had how many years Sammy Sosa was right near the top. Mark McGuire was up near the top 2 years, I believe, out of it I mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Sosa was up there for 3 years. But Barry Bonds only registered that one really sick season. Now, I know he hit in the 50s a couple of years or 40s. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they weren't near the top of the list. And,
no.
And there's Barry Bonds comes and manages to – set the season record,
mm-hmm,
top of the list. Now, I understand he was older and everything else, so, I mean, there's not much you could say to stick up for the guy. But I just think that it's kind of funny that he only registered one really big season like that.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the others had multiple seasons. You know, so yeah. I just... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't listen. I don't believe on a normal season. And again, like I said, if you throw out all those guys, the Maguires, the Sosas, the Bonds, if you throw all of their numbers out and you take it back to just where it was, which was Babe and Maris, if you think about all the years, 100 years of baseball, only two guys have made it to 60. So that's telling to me. That's telling you everything you need to know.
Yeah, you know, listen, I hear you. I'm looking up now. I'm trying to see. So Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs mm-hmm. in 2001.
Right.
Okay. Now, it's hard to make any kind of statement for him that, you know, he did it clean. But like Stanton did it, 59 home runs in 2017.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going down the list. And I'm trying to see when the next time that I even see.
54?
What's that?
And what's the next record after that? Take those guys out. Mark McGwire. You know.
Well, I'm specifically looking for what's his face?
Who?
Barry Bonds.
Oh, you're looking for his next best season?
And I'm up to 53, 52. Unless I skipped him, and I doubt it, 51, 50, 50.
Well, I'm bringing up 49. His
next one is 49.
I'm bringing up his stats right now. So.
For Barry Bonds.
Okay, let's see if I can get it for you quick. Home runs, 46 in 93, 49 in 2000, 73 in 2001, and then 2002 he hit 46, 2002 he hit 45, 45. So he had a bunch of 40s, no 50s, and then the 73.
Yeah, that's... Oh, Lou Gehrig, 2 years in a row, not 2 years in a row, but twice hit 49.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of guys who've, you know, I mean, A-Rod hit 54, but that's tainted. Judge is obviously now at 55. So, you know, you've had some guys who...
But then how come nobody questions Stanton's record of 59?
I guess there was, you know, I guess he was tested. I have no idea. But you know what, Jeff, you never hear about it. Very few people mention the fact. To me, it's... If you don't get to 60, you're just not in that club. There's a bunch of people who hit 50 homers in the season. You know, granted, you hit 59, terrific season, but you didn't hit 60. And until you hit somebody hit 60 legit, to me, it doesn't matter.
No, listen, I hear you. I hear you, okay? But it's still the thought and everything that 59 home runs,
mm-hmm.
with all the years that baseball's around, what, 130 years that baseball's been around?
Something like that.
You know what I mean? And only really two guys
have
been 60 or 61.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And it makes you wonder, like with Bonds, like he was pretty much 45, 46 home runs in a year, it mm-hmm. seemed, for a couple years in a row.
Yep.
Several years in a row. But he peaked at 73 and then never came close again.
No, 46s, 45s after that. Listen, the guy was a tremendous hitter, a great baseball player. But to me... You know, you're to your point, Jeff, if he hit, you know, 62, 65, 66, 61, 73, you'd kind of go, all right, the guy was consistent. But when you're hitting 45, 46, 40, and then you're hitting 73, it just kind of says something wasn't right.
Well, listen, once again, I am not particularly a big fan of the guy as it is.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, it's just something sometimes I think about it and I'm like, you know, How much did the guy actually do that he fucking peaked?
Yeah.
Like almost 30 home runs higher than he hit just the years before. You're talking 27 home runs,
mm-hmm.
28 home runs difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of home runs to make up. Like you're not just lucky 28 times up at bat. And you're putting them out of the fucking stadium too.
Yep.
Into the water. You know, just sometimes, I don't know.
Listen, it's again, valid point. And, you know, like I said, there's a reason why that there are a lot of people. Now, there was a big thing today, this week. Roger Maris Jr. was a little upset with Aaron Judge because when Aaron Judge was asked specifically who's the record, he said, well, I grew up watching Barry Bonds, and I watched him every night go for that record, and Barry Bonds 73. It will be the record regardless. And there's a lot of people who disagree, and I guess Judge is being politically correct. I have no idea, but maybe he feels that way. But there are a lot of people, a lot of baseball purists like myself, who don't recognize his home run because you said it. It's an aberration in a career.
Yeah, but Tom, unless the right people are asking questions, and like I said to you last week on the show, that there's no way under the sun that anybody's ever going to question that.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's never going to happen.
Nope, I agree.
Never going to happen.
No, I agree. Couldn't agree more. Listen, I agree. Couldn't agree more.
The judge probably isn't stupid enough
mm-hmm.
to ruin his spot.
Yep.
In baseball at this point in time, that he's got a...
Oh, no, agreed.
You don't want to say the wrong thing. That's
sure.
It's nuts.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, again, I it's something we'll watch. He's six homers away from tying the record, seven from breaking it, and he's got 30-plus games to do it, so... We'll be here every 30 week.
Plus games left.
Yeah, I believe it's. I believe there's 30 something games. Yankees are 80 something. Hold on, I can tell you in 2 seconds how many games they got left. Yankees are 82-54, so they played 136 games. So they have 30. They have 20 something games left. Yeah, so they have. So 26
of the MLB season.
It's into October right now. It goes. I think it's like October 6th or 7th right now because they got the late start with the they got the late start. So yeah.
The games are left. Of course, by 1 week. It was delayed by 1 week.
Yes.
It will end on October 2nd.
So right now there's 162 minus 136. Equals they have 26 games with tonight's game, so
there's a chance that he could set the record.
Well, again, not 73. There's no way in the world he's hitting 18 home runs in 26 games. He, that would be a huge undertaking. And listen, last night he had a home run, and they intentionally walked him three times. Nobody's going to pitch to him this month.
Just give me a second, Karen. Put that light on.
As the lovely Mrs. Tawinski sits in the background there, with Jeff's got the light going on. We're going to.
I'm joined up in the skybox by Basil.
I see that. Good. It's nice to have Basil join us anytime. Again, we're happy you guys all joined us tonight. We're talking football. We had Carmine on, the doctor. My dad was popped up, and we're going to talk a lot of football starting now. We're talking a little bit of baseball. And the Yankees get out of that. The Twins get out of that inning. No runs. One hit. Yankees are up 2-0 in the top of the fourth inning. So we'll keep you abreast of that. We got football starting in a few minutes. Jeff and I are going to make a bunch of picks tonight. We'll talk Jets and Giants. We're going to run through the Jets and Giants schedule. And we'll just run through the league and have some fun. We're looking forward to Bills and the Rams. And I don't know if it's a big thing or not, but Ozzie singing at halftime of tonight's game is always good. Now I don't have to listen to Coolio and Schmoolios and all of those crappy guys. I'm okay. So, Jeff, let's get to some football.
Yes.
We're excited. Let's briefly talk. Before I do that, you had your first experience with the fantasy draft and being part of a fantasy league and. Give me your early impressions. Is it what you thought it would be? You find it? It's fun. What's your thoughts early on being a part of the fantasy league?
I'm sure it's going to be fun. That's one thing.
Yep.
Second of all, it was made more fun because me and you take it a little seriously.
Yep.
Because we're trying to field a competitive team and everything else. So we got to talk a little bit more about this and you got to think a little bit more in depth. At first, I didn't think that we had such a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the report card and I got some feedback from you, from some guys.
Yep.
And I realized that we might not have the best team in the league, but we definitely don't have the worst team in the league. We actually have a better than average team. I think we're right now, the way the report cards came out, I think we were like third or fourth in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Out of 10, sure. Yeah.
So, some of these guys have some good games.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. We could have a pretty decent, we could have a fun time. I think it makes you pay attention more now.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
To the game.
Well, that, and it'll make you pay attention to some of the teams in the league, and you'll follow injury reports, and you'll pick up on highlights to see how your players are doing, and you'll learn more about the league. And believe me, it happens to a lot of people. So it should be fun, and I'm glad we're taking it serious. And we had a good draft. Like I said, I thought we had a good draft, and it was confirmed by our report card. And we'll kick into it. And we got, of course, facing our good buddy. Yes, this league is money now, Frankie. It's $25 ante up for everybody. And
that was said. That was said that somebody actually and I don't know what you want to do about the money. I know you laid out money, but
yeah. It's somewhere in the top. That's it.
I'm not even looking for money this year, but
yes, so it's 25 and winning team. I think it's $1.25. Second is 75. Yeah. So the winning team gets 125. Second team gets 75. And then $25 for third and fourth place. Frankie, it's on the site, but I'll send you my Venmo. You can Venmo it to me to 25, and then I'll hold the money for everybody. And at the end of the year, I'll make the payments.
Just Hemp Wizard Beer Care. I see the name of their team. I made another order today.
Oh, nice.
With Hemp Wizard. I'm looking forward to getting this one. I have my wife pick one out.
Nice.
And I'm also getting my Cushman's, but she found gingerbread.
Oh, look at that.
So it'll be very Christmassy around me.
Yes, you'll be able to walk around and work at home, and you'll just be smelling Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. I can't wait for it.
And again, you guys, if anybody's out there listening, you, of course, you want to get your loved ones, if they got the nice beard like Jeff's, or they're working into their nice beard like Jeff's, you want to get on to Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co., Beard Care Co. Those guys are great guys, Joe and Mike, and their products are amazing. Jeff will tell you their products are amazing. And they also have a line of skin lotions and stuff, so it's not just about the beard, it's about the face. And everybody's got somebody with a face in their life. Everybody.
There you go.
So make sure you check out Hemp Wizard Beard Care Co. Mike and Joe, two of the best guys I've never met before. So I implore you to support them because they do a lot for our show, and we love having them involved. So, and of course, our good friend Mark Scott, for the former drummer of Trickster, he's got his line of vodka out. If you're out in the Phoenix and in the Arizona area, please go find American Premium Vodka for that. And of course, you guys see the list of people who support our show every week: Sam Bone and JG Osseo and RFO Records and the guys from Black Sasquatch, the Squatchy guys, those guys are the best. Make sure you follow all of those guys because they're big fans of ours, big friends of ours, I should say. I don't think anybody's a fan of ours. They're friends of ours. So, but Jeff, let's get to some football. We got Jets this weekend. We were breaking each other's chops a little bit, but a little controversy but it looks like Joe Flacco is going to be starting at least the first three games. Could be good or bad. You know, you could be in a situation where, you know, you're 2-2, or let's say he plays the three, he's 2-1, 1-2. You know,
this team is well on their way to disappointing, like they do every year, with the left tackle out now, and the possibility of sliding Font over to left tackle and getting a rookie to start, or they're just a fucking mess.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. But, I agree. There's a couple I'd like to do that, too. But
you could have Vince Lombardi pick whoever he wants on his coaching staff and take Belichick, Walsh, Parcells, Shula, whoever he wants, Shupnell, and they still ain't going to be able to get any fucking wins out of this team.
Well, we're going to go through their record. We're going to go through their schedule in a couple of minutes. I don't think either team you can count on as being in the playoff hunt come December. And to me, that's what football's all about. You want to be playing meaningful games in December. I don't think either one of these teams will be playing meaningful games in December. But listen, every year, hope springs eternal, and we get a shot at something. you're right. I think there's a lot against the Jets with left tackle being a moving parts right now. There's a lot of questions on the Jets, of course, at quarterback right now. When does at what point do we say that Zach Wilson's a little injury prone? I mean, now it's 2 years in a row, a little bit of a knee injury. You know, at some point, when do you put that label? You don't want to label somebody, Jeff, early in their career. But at what point do we say, hey, it's 2 years in a row, he's missing a month, you know, he's injury prone?
Well, the only thing I could say about Zach Wilson and him being the possibility of him being labeled injury prone, which is hard to disagree, all right? But I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was a non-contact injury in preseason.
Right.
He played only a handful of plays actually before that actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, in good faith, turn around and say that, yeah, he's injury prone. But I will say that, you know, something is not right. I think he looks too much like RG3 to me when he's playing, this little fella that's out there. And I think a couple hard hits, and he's going to spend some extra time on the sidelines. You know, nobody's going to confuse him with a Cam Newton or a Ben Roethlisberger type size guy.
Right.
That, you know, he just doesn't look like he's going to take a 16-17 game beating.
Right.
I'm trying to deflect that he's injury prone. But you know what? Sam Darnold went through the same shit.
Yeah.
You know,
no.
You know, I don't understand this. If I was, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If you were general manager now, you're going to draft a quarterback, would there not be certain parameters that you're looking for as a quarterback?
Sure, of course.
Minimum size, minimum weight. You know, maybe he doesn't have to be the fastest guy on the team.
No.
Okay? He doesn't have to run a 40 in 4.2, 4.3.
Yep.
But I want to make sure that he's durable.
Right.
I want to make sure that he can survive a hit. I want to make sure that he survives a season. If his offensive line is subpar, I'm going to have to worry about him that he's going to crack in half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you get an injury like that in the wide open, you know, there's really not – you don't know how to read that. You don't know how to take
that. Well, that's – listen, somebody hits you and injures you, that's one thing. I don't consider that an injury-prone guy. But when you're running around the field and nobody's hitting you and you're getting hurt 2 years in a row, you kind of got to go, yeah, he's a little injury-prone. You know, that to me is the worrisome. You know, you getting hit as a quarterback and you know, you're getting blindsided by a shot or you take a shot running down the field. To me, that's not being injury prone. Being injury prone is, you know, I'm running down the field and all of a sudden I got a half torn meniscus. That, you know, to me, that's what I want to worry about. But listen, I think as a whole, I don't think we're both counting on much from either of our teams. And we're going to get to a lot more Jets and Giants later. I want to run around the league right now. I want to make our picks for the year, and then I want to run through the Giants and Jets schedule. I'm going to keep track of all this tonight, so that way somewhere down the road we can rub each other's face in it, who got more right than the others. So, but you know, one thing I want to talk about real quick, and we'll get back to the Jets and the Giants in a few minutes. You know, the NFL schedule is actually pretty cool. Now, this week there's a lot of decent games. Three games stick out, and I like to call them revenge games. So, two of these games were, I think, possibly setups, and then the last one's a lucky one. So I'll start the lucky one. So, of course, Joe Flacco starting for the Jets this week, and who's Joe Flacco facing? The Ravens.
The Ravens.
So a little bit of a revenge game. The Ravens got rid of him. I don't think there's much in the way of animosity there. But
I think it's so long ago that it doesn't matter. He got traded to the Broncos and then ended up with the Jets and then bounced to the Eagles and then got traded back to the Jets.
Yep.
I don't think he has anything against. I think he should be happy he's in the fucking league. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. But again, listen, it's a four. You know, I think it's the first time ever that a former Super Bowl winning quarterback plays opening day against his former team.
I can see that.
So it's a little interesting. Now the other two are fun. The first one is Russell Wilson, Frankie Catalano's guy, going home to play the Seattle Seahawks. I think the game's actually in Denver, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that's a fun thing to watch. I mean, obviously, if you're paying attention out there, we all can see that Seattle, Jeff, is tanking for the season. You know, they made no attempt to pick up a quality quarterback. They trade Russell Wilson away for picks. This is obviously a team that's gunning for the top draft pick next year, and maybe a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young in their future. So, but it's still, there's a guy who played his whole career. We got the half man just popped up on the screen. We have to get the it's in Seattle. Okay, so it's even more fun. So Russell Wilson going home, Jeff. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of animosity, but I don't think there's any reason to believe that Russell Wilson has a little more extra in the tank this week to go home and maybe stick it in Pete Carroll's ear.
Oh, listen, I'm sure that he wants to, to go up to Seattle, especially with all the shit that he spewed for a couple of seasons about wanting to get out of there.
Yeah.
And then it turns around that looked like Seattle was shopping him in 2018, mm-hmm. but couldn't find any takers on him. So, I could see that there being a little bit there. But, listen, Seattle, what animosity should they have? If I was Pete Carroll, I'd be pissed about that team. It's like you got rid of Russell Wilson, and the team got a little bit older, and what did we do here? You're leaving me with Geno Smith and Drew Locke, and nobody else. You didn't even try to get anybody else. It's like this season was a wash back in fucking May.
I do believe, though, that I agree with Frankie. Between the media and the fans, I think the fans are going to be a little anti-Russell Wilson. Yeah, he played his whole career there, won him a Super Bowl, but Russell Wilson made it very clear last year that he wanted out of there to go to a better place to play. So I think the fans are going to give him some shit, and I think it's going to be a hostile environment, which it usually always is in Seattle. I think this is going to be a hostile environment, and I think it's going to be a little bit hyped up with the return of Russell Wilson to his home.
It's going to be a very hostile environment, but that brings me to my point. Where it's like, where do they have to be hostile about? They don't have a team.
I agree, but I think that's what's the players on this one, Jeff. I think it's the fans. I think the fans – see, the next one's going to be a lot of the players. I think a lot of players are going to have a lot of animosity on the player who left. But this one, I think it's the fans. I think the fans feel a little betrayed by a Russell Wilson for wanting to leave there, for pushing his way out the door. I believe firmly that he pushed his way out the door. So,
of course he did. Do you blame him?
No. But, again, I think that – so I think from a fan standpoint, Russell Wilson will be serenaded with a lot of booze. He may get a quick cheer before the game. Hey, Russell Wilson, thanks for everything. Now it's go F yourself. So I think that's an interesting revenge game.
Especially if they come out hard and heavy, the Broncos, and put a lot of points up early.
Oh, yeah. Listen,
imagine him being pulled in the third quarter because they're up like 35-0 or something.
Yeah, exactly. Then the last one is, of course, Baker Mayfield playing against the Cleveland Browns. Now, you couldn't have written a better script for an opening day. Baker Mayfield not well liked by his teammates in Cleveland, and getting to face his team that basically, they really kind of disrespected him. I'm not telling you that Baker Mayfield's a great quarterback or should have been given a new contract, any of that stuff. But the fact that they brought in a guy who was certainly going to be suspended for being a sexual predator, gave him this huge contract guaranteed, all with him with Baker Mayfield still on the roster, and then waiting until the last possible moment to trade him. Jeff, if you're Baker Mayfield, you got to be going back there full guns.
Well, let's keep in mind one other thing too, Tom. Baker Mayfield was the number one pick in the draft. Baker Mayfield was the first quarterback to show it, get any kind of respectability back to the Browns.
Yeah.
Put the Browns back to the playoffs after, a 20-year absence.
Well, it's a horrendous absence. Yeah.
And then the next year, he fell apart, and a lot of people blamed it on him. Meanwhile, he had an injury. I've only seen Baker Mayfield play in a handful of games, but I would love to see him come and tear the Browns up.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see him throw for 350 yards and 4 touchdowns, and throw one of these record-breaking games all over the field. But, listen, in the NFL, it just goes to show you have one bad season.
Yeah.
and if you were to look at guys like Fran Tarkenton, Joe Namath, maybe even Terry Bradshaw to an extent, if these guys had an off season, they came back the next year and they played.
Yeah.
You know, these quarterbacks for these team that they went out and they come back next year and they just played harder and they played better.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield has an off season and that's it.
Yeah.
He's done in the NFL. Nobody wants part of him. You know, he's not like Sam Darnold who just never caught on. You know, the guy actually has a playoff appearance on his resume. You know, and in today's NFL, that's a big thing. Guy actually has a playoff appearance on his resume. You know,
I'm sorry, that was I got caught up on the wrong screen. You know, Jeff, I couldn't agree more. You know, again, we've talked about this to ad nauseum. Teams just don't have patience. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks whose first 3-4 years in the league back in the day weren't great, and they got another opportunity to show what they had, what they had, and went on to great careers. But nowadays, you get a year or two, and if you don't show something, they're ready to feed you to the wolves.
Well, more often than not,
yeah,
that's exactly what happens.
Coaches and quarterbacks.
Yeah, but more so quarterbacks and teams. At least the coach be like, well, the quarterback wasn't that good,
yeah.
So the coach gets an extra year. Yeah, actually, has a playoff. Appearance on a coach be like, well, the quarterback wasn't that
what
good.
The hell, come on,
so
guys,
the coach gets an extra year out of
it. Oh, it's not me, that's something with the, hold on, let me close this off. God, all right, now that's it. I just got Facebook for some reason was taking over my page. I don't know why.
That's not good.
Yeah, so well, at least I know we're live, so but yeah, sorry man, that's I just shut off Facebook on my computer.
It's just amazing because, you know, like when you get a guy like, you've got a team, shoot, let me back up a little bit. You get a team like the Denver Broncos, who went through a quarterback carousel and a half, trying to replace Elway.
Yeah.
Who at this point in time, how long has it been since he's been on the NFL?
20-something
years.
25 years? Yeah, 24 years probably, yeah.
Okay, 98, 99. So that's how long ago that was.
Yeah.
And you know, how many different quarterbacks have started over there? Some of these other teams, what was it, like 30 different quarterbacks started for the Cleveland Browns?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, the numbers are unbelievable that these guys, nobody even gave some of these guys a chance. I remember there was a kid in Washington. What was it, Patrick Ramsey, I think his name was?
Oh,
do you remember him?
I do remember the name, yeah.
And I remember he was a hot ticket for a brief moment in time. I believe in the early 2000s. And I remember like, oh, the Jets were hoping to get him and a couple other teams were hoping to get him. And then all of a sudden, he was like a flash in the pan. He was gone.
That happens, I mean, guys down to guys like Bobby Brister and some of those other guys, yeah.
Bobby Brister was a career backup. You can't really say much
about him. He started for Pittsburgh for a while. Yeah, so you want the quarterbacks who took over for John Elway?
I'm sure it's probably a laundry list, but yeah, let's see.
You can count it off if you want. I'll give you the different. So 1999 was Brian Griese and Chris Miller.
Okay.
Then 2000 was Brian Griese and Gus Frerotte.
So that's three.
Yep. Again, the same pair in 2001. Brian Griese in 2002 along with Steve Berline.
Four.
Okay. In 2003, Jake Plummer.
Five.
Danny Cannell.
Six.
Jarius Jackson.
Seven.
Okay, then you got 2 years of Jake Plummer, and then a third year of Jake Plummer and Jay Cutler. So there's your fifth or sixth. So you got one.
Yeah, I'm up to like seven or eight.
Okay, I'll go back. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight so far. Cutler makes eight.
Cutler was the starter up there for a couple of years.
He started in the second part of 2006. 7 and 8. Then,
so
2008. By 2008, you were 9 guys already. Wait, not done yet. 2009 is Kyle Orton. He makes number 10. Chris Sims got a start. He was 11. Tim Tebow got some starts. He's 12. Peyton Manning is 13. Brock Osweiler is 14. Simeon 15. Paxton Lynch 16. Case Keenum 17, Joe Flacco 18, Drew Lock 19, Brandon Allen 20, 21, Jeff Driscoll. 22, Brett Rypien. 23, Phillip Lindsay. 24, Teddy Bridgewater. 24 quarterbacks since John Elway retired 25 years ago.
Wow.
Well, let's see. John Elway is 1998, so 23 years ago, 24 quarterbacks.
Man.
It's a lot of quarterbacks, Jeff.
Some of those guys, I mean, I'm sure that Frank Catalano don't remember some of those guys' names.
Yeah. Bobby,
you know, pretty sad.
Bobby won a Super Bowl? Who did Bobby win a Super Bowl with? Bobby Bristol won a Super Bowl? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that. He might have been on a team that won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he might. I want to get the half man on. He's been hanging an awful long time.
Oh, so get him on.
Let's get our good buddy Dominic.
You know, yeah. Listen, put him up. Before you pick him up, is he on?
He's listening to you.
All right, I want him to know that we picked Derek Carr on our team, and I want to hear what his thoughts are about that. So, half man, if you can hear us on our fantasy team, we have Derek Carr.
He's not our starter, though.
Not our starter, but that's because we got Herbert,
yeah,
whatever.
Justin Herbert.
So I want to see what he has to say about that.
All right, well, he hasn't been on in a while. Let's get him on. He's our good buddy, Dom Jenta. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Dom boys.
How are you, Dominic?
I'm doing all right, doing all right. I'll give you a prediction real quick. 34-28 Raiders this week.
34-28 Raiders. Hold on. Let me.
Devontae Adams, 125 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns.
Jeff, he's saying that the Raiders, the Las Vegas butt wipes, or the Raiders, I should say, are playing away, Jeff, to the Los Angeles Chargers.
No.
They're playing at home, basically.
I don't think they're going to have that kind of game, bro. That's
that
big.
Stadium is going to be more Raider fans than Charger fans.
Dom, I got to tell you, I think the Chargers win huge this week. I think this is double digit win for the Chargers.
You want to bet dinner on that?
Can you chew dinner?
Dom, I don't like to make bets with family, but I will tell you, the Broncos. Yes, I will take you up on that. The Chargers win double digits. And I'll buy you dinner if they don't.
Goodbye.
Oh, Pirates.
There's no way they win by double digits.
Double digits, Dom. Double digits. All I can tell you is I think Justin Herbert's ready to have his breakout season. I think their defense is better. I do believe that the Raiders are a better team this year, and they will be better this year. But this week, double digits, Dom. They will. I think the Chargers are looking to come out and make a statement, Jeff.
I think so. Yeah, I really do.
What are both of your opinions on Thursday night football not being on TV after tonight?
Dom, I hate it. I get it from the NFL standpoint. You're looking to sell as much as you can, get as much money. But
How much more money do you want if you're the NFL, Tom?
You know what, Dom? I don't know. You know what? Here's the thing. If you had the opportunity to do things like that, you would take every opportunity you could. So it's hard for me to argue with the NFL when they want to go out and make money. But, you know, again, same thing with baseball. I hate when the Yankee games are on Amazon. I don't like the streaming service games, but it's – you know what? Coming down the line, at some point, you're going to see most of your games are going to be this way, and you're going to have to pay per game to watch.
They're phasing cable.
It's getting ridiculous. Derek Jeter night is tomorrow night. They're on Derek Jeter, and it's not on TV. It's not on the YES Network.
Yeah,
the Yankee Network.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's, I don't think that's a good thing. I gotta stop that stuff. Okay, good. I'm sorry. This computer's all over tonight.
But Derek G tonight also. That should be on the YES Network.
Dominic, I couldn't agree with you more. And I don't know if this was a preordained game that was going to be. You know, don't forget this is Yankees and Tampa. So I don't know if this was a game that was already bought out before It was announced.
Well, it's been every Friday night, Tom. It's been either Amazon, Apple, or Prime.
Well, let me ask you a question. When do you ever remember the Yankees? Think about this. When do you ever remember the Yankees having a day for a player, not on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Right? No, it was always on a weekend.
Right. So all of a sudden, they're going to do Derek Jeter night on a Friday night? I think they're doing
Saturday or Sunday they used to do that.
Yeah, that's always done on a Saturday or Sunday. That's never done on a Friday night or a Thursday night. I believe that this was set up to make this an important game for Amazon. I think I think that was set up that way because I've never seen it. I'll tell you the truth, I think 99% of them are on Sundays. I mean, they just retired O'Neal's jersey. What was that? That was a Sunday. So to me, this is about marketing. Do I like this in football or baseball or anything else? No, but this is the wave of the future, guys. It's going to be one of these things where you're going to go to Amazon and they're going to say, what game do you want to watch? And they're going to charge you $1.99 to watch it. That's the future.
Well, you know what it is, Tom? And Tom, I'm sure you're going to open with me on this one. They're phasing out cable. They don't want you to have cable.
Yes.
Cable's a thing of the past.
Absolutely.
All they want you to do is stream all these services and games
100%.
And movies and everything else. And some of the different channels we have, I don't even know half of them.
But Jeff, DirecTV has the rights. I don't know how many more, 2032, I think it is. They're never going to give up the 100% rights to that NFL package.
Just listen, as these things become available, I'm telling you, more and more of this stuff is going to be that way.
They may have the rights to it, Dom, but you know what's going to happen? The people aren't going to subscribe to these providers.
Yeah.
And then they're going to get bought out because if they don't get bought out, they're just going to go under. They're going to go out of business. All you need is an internet connection now. You don't need to have a
no. Let me tell you something. You don't other than for Wi-Fi. You realistically, if I wanted to get rid of it, cable, I could. I mean, I watch a lot of stuff on Paramount Plus and Netflix and Amazon. And you if you think about it, if I paid for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them, it would cost me $90 for the most part or less to have probably everything I watch. But my cable bill, while it's even reduced, I still pay $160 a month.
I wish I paid $100.
Yeah, but I can't get Apple.
Where I live pays the first $100.
Yeah, but Tom, I can't get Apple Prime or Amazon on my TV. So how do I get it to see the game?
You got to get it on your iPad. You got to get it on your iPad.
Oh, no, Tom. Dominic,
but then I got to watch it on the iPad that's 3 inches tall to watch a football game?
Well, don't forget, I mean, if you have technology, you can mirror your iPad onto your TV and watch the game on your TV while it's being streamed from your iPad. There are ways to get around it, but
yeah,
I get your point.
You always get a Fire Stick, Tom.
Yeah, get a Roku box like Frankie said. I have the Fire Cube, which I can get all that stuff. But again, see, right now the Amazon is I know the Amazon is a Prime is free to games if you have an account. I don't know. I think the Apple is still free, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
You pay for Apple TV.
Huh?
You pay for Apple TV.
Do you pay for Apple TV?
How old is your TV, Dom?
Not that many years, a couple of years. I mean, but
listen, no offense, but in today's day and age, if your TV is 3, 4 years old, it's probably considered ancient.
Yeah, it's the truth.
And by the time you get a new TV, it's going to have so many different things on it, you're not going to know what to do with it. My wife wanted a 60-inch TV a couple of years ago, so we went and got it. So I was like, okay, we'll go get a 60-inch TV.
Right.
It took a day and a half to set it up. Because by the time she entered in all the information, she's like, what's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? It was a smart TV.
Yeah.
And now it's 3, 4 years old. I mean, still.
Chap, I'm moving for the Chap. I'm moving for the third time in 6 months. All right, I'm not rich. I'm running out of friggin' money.
I'm not saying no, but you know, if you keep moving, you know what's gonna happen. Somebody's gonna drop that fucking TV. You'll be getting a new one before you know it.
But
well,
you know
if
they drop it, then I can go buy the new one. But if it's still working, I'm gonna use it. You know.
No, I don't blame you.
Yeah,
blame
but
you.
Guys, I don't think we're that far away from the day when you know, like now on a regular Sunday, I get at least two games. I get the Jets, the Giants, and then the 4 o'clock game. Most Sundays, I usually get I get games that are in Philly or Pittsburgh. Because I get the Pennsylvania stations on my cable. So on a good Sunday, I can get five games plus the Sunday night game for free. Just having them on regular. I can't say for free. I pay for my cable. But I think the day's coming where all of these games will be on these different streaming services, and you won't have the free games, and you'll have to go, you know, to Netflix and see if those get what games are on that one, or you know, you're gonna have these games all over, and pretty soon playoff games are gonna be there. And I guarantee you it ain't that far. Maybe it's in the future. The Super Bowl will be on a streaming service one of these days. And you have to pay.
I can't see the Super Bowl going to streaming.
And you will have to pay for it. Why? Because Don, right now they're giving you, think about this. The Super Bowl is the biggest every year is the most viewed event of the year, TV show, whatever you want to call it. You get millions of people every year. Right now, they're basically giving it away. I'm telling you, one of these days, they are going to say they'll start with an alternate. They'll start with an alternate viewing of it, and eventually, you will have to pay $5.99, $5, $10 to watch the Super Bowl on the streaming service. Guaranteed.
You realize how much money could be raised and made by doing it that
way.
Oh,
my
God. You're 100% right.
Think about it, Jeff. If you had 20 million, and it's more than that, 20 million people pay $5 to watch the Super Bowl. Think about it. It's $100 million added to their money to 32 teams. I'm just saying $5. That's it.
Think of the money that they're making now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's free.
Yeah, but Tom.
Yeah, John, Dom.
Tom, what are the bars going to do if they do that? Because the bars can't show it because they got
to
pay an occupancy and per chair.
You're good. If you're a bar or a business, you're going to pay a fee. They're going to charge you more money, but you're going to pay a fee to have it broadcast into your establishment. Yeah. Listen, Dom, I'm not telling you it's going to happen next year. I'm telling you it's coming down the line. Yeah, and Frank, yes, you're gonna have to pay for your. I'm telling you, you're gonna have. Oh, if you want to watch the AFC East, you're gonna have to pay $5 to Amazon. And if you're an NFC guy, you're gonna go to Apple TV for your games, and you're gonna go on there, and you're gonna pay X amount of dollars, and you're gonna get to watch one game, or you're gonna pay a big money, and you're gonna pay a streaming service, and you're gonna be able to watch whatever games you want. But it's all gonna be paid for. But I'm telling you now. In the near future, you're going to hear people start to talk about paying to watch the Super Bowl. Think about it. If they got everybody to pay $10 to watch the Super Bowl, now you think, what's $10? You watch a bullshit fight, you're paying $49.99 on pay-per-view. You're going to pay $10, and then they're going to still charge people to advertise on that. Think about the gold mine that's going to be.
No problem. If you think about it, you're paying already to watch the Super Bowl.
Absolutely, 100%.
Who has a regular TV?
Nobody.
Some kind of cable service or something hooked up to it.
Right, but
so you're already paying for the right to get a signal. Which?
But the NFL's not making any extra money. They're already selling it. Let's say the rights to broadcast it to those guys, but they're not charging anything additional just to watch the Super Bowl. Right? You're paying a flat fee. You got your box. The NFL's charging the Comcast or whoever to bring the signal in. I'm talking about going out there and taking specific money to stream the Super Bowl. I'm telling
you. I know what you're saying,
yeah.
But I'm just saying.
Oh, you're
I'm
paying.
Realizing
it, sure.
You're paying already because if you want to watch the Super Bowl, you're telling me, come over to my house, we're going to watch the Super Bowl. And you have a cable provider. You're paying the cable provider.
Yeah.
may not be paying specifically for that game, but you're paying specifically for that cable, that signal to come into your house.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. No, it's
a... the TV that's in my dining room. I have just a regular like antenna hooked up to it because we just use it for news in the morning.
Right.
And we're watching dinner. My wife will put it on. We'll watch the news. And we can't even get a signal coming into the house.
Yeah.
Because the thing freezes and everything else, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
So,
I'm telling you.
And she has the Roku, not the Roku, the Fire Stick connected to that.
Right.
We don't even know how to use the fucking Fire Stick.
Yeah, again, you know, it's not that difficult. If you spend a few minutes, you can get through YouTube things. I mean, like I said, I have a Fire Cube in one room. I use Amazon Prime. I use Netflix. I use Paramount Plus. They're all free for me.
Fire Cube? I heard the Fire Stick, not the Fire Cube.
Fire Cube is the same thing as the Roku. It's just a way to stream in. So I can set that up, let's say, on a different channel. So HDMI 1 on my thing is my cable. I go HDMI 2, it's my Fire Cube, and that's where all my different streaming services are. So now if I want
to... Is that broadcast to different TVs in the house?
No, it only goes to the TV that's plugged into, that I'm aware of.
It can only be one on one. You sure it's not a Fire Stick?
No, it's Fire Cube. Yeah, I have a Fire... I have a... I still have it someplace. I have a jailbroken Fire Stick, which in the beginning was nice, but to try to watch a movie on there was ridiculous. So I stopped.
Well, where do you buy the Fire Cube?
Anywhere. You can get it on Amazon. I walked into Best Buy and bought mine. It's like $70-$80. And what it allows you to do is you go on there and you can switch between, like, you know, all the streaming services are there. And it's just an easy way to maneuver through. But again, with the streaming service, you have to know what you're looking for. Like, certain shows that I watch are on Paramount Plus. You know, right now there's
no, because I had a Roku. I got a with all the moving. I don't even know if it's in one of my boxes.
I've never used a Roku, but I believe it's the same theory. It's just a way to catch all your streaming services in one spot and maneuver between it. Cube is like this Fire Stick. Yeah, it's similar. Yeah, I would say it's definitely similar. I just haven't liked the Cube, but you know, it's like having Amazon like Alexa. And I could go Alexa. Please go to the Fire Cube and or go to HDMI 2. Please bring up this streaming service. It allows me to talk to it, do it. But that's, I'm telling you guys, in the future, you guys are, Frankie said it, you want to watch all the Denver Bronco games or the New York Jet games or the Giant games or the Raider games. You're going to have to pay a service and you'll be able to watch those games. But I'm telling you, in the near future, 10 years from now, I guarantee we will be watching.
Dude, 10 years from now, it'll be on to something completely different. It's not going to take 10 years for that.
No,
watch way sooner.
Yeah, people are going to bitch and complain, but the NFL doesn't care, guys. I mean, look at it. Every Thursday night game is going to be on Amazon. You know, and it's not that big a deal, but at the end of the day, most people aren't going to go looking for it. You know, the devoted fans, guys, you know, Jeff, on a Thursday night, the Minnesota Vikings and Seattle Seahawks, are you running to go find it on Amazon? You're not.
You know why? Because, one, there's so many different channels, I wouldn't be able to find Amazon.
But even for myself, if I'm watching, after the show's tonight, I'll go in the Florida room, I'll throw on the TV, and I'll watch the football game. But if I had to go in there and start switching over and get to Amazon and, I'm not. Screw it. Ain't worth it. It's not a big game. Yeah, I'm going to watch it either way. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, Dom, to answer your question finally is, no, I'm not a fan. I don't like the fact that the Yankees are on Amazon tomorrow night with Derek G tonight. I think it's disgusting that they don't have that on YES for everybody to watch. So, yeah, I agree.
I think it's disgusting. It's not on 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11.
Yeah. The Yankees don't even have games on Channel 11 anymore. It's over. That's not on free TV anymore.
Monday Night Baseball. They have Monday Night Football. Remember Monday Night Baseball?
Didn't last very long. I think it was like 79, 80, 81.
It was on before that.
I remember 79 because when Munson died, I believe that game was played on a Monday night. I want to say, what's his name? Keith Jackson was the baseball was the announcer on that along with Howard Cosell.
I thought Thurman Munson died on like a Thursday night.
He did. No, he died on a Thursday, and then they had his funeral. I think it was a month. The game that the Yankees played right after Munson died, the first game, was on Monday Night Baseball with and Bobby Murray had a huge game that night.
Yeah, 5 RBIs.
I'll feel crying.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. That was a Monday night game, an ABC, I think, Monday night game. So, but Bobby Murray had a huge game. I think he won.
Yeah, I think he had 5 RBIs in that game.
Yep, absolutely. So Dom, I know you made your prediction that the Raiders were going to win this week. I don't see it. I think the Chargers win that game easily, but that's just my opinion.
Well, Tom, you should know that Herbert is our starting quarterback.
That's right.
We have Carr.
And Derek Carr's your backup. I got you.
Yeah, so we're really hoping that Herbert fucking lights it up.
Oh, yeah, we're hoping for 350, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. Yeah, no offense to you, the Raiders.
Wait.
We're wishing he has
Tommy, how did you get Jeff into fantasy football?
You know, it's funny. I didn't. You know, I wasn't sure he'd be into it. When we Frank Jeffries putting together a league with some of the guys, and they asked me to be part of it. And I was a little reluctant, to be honest with you. I haven't been into doing the fantasy leagues and stuff, but enough guys were doing it. And I said to Jeff, you want a team? And he was like, how about we do one together? And I said, you know what? That would be fun. And we've done it together. We use the show, use it for part of the show. And it's a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to doing it together.
Who made most of the picks?
I don't know. I think it was pretty even, right, Jeff? I think it was kind of like, what do you think we need? Who do you like?
We actually, Don, we were actually on the show. We didn't broadcast the show, but we used the StreamYard service, and we were talking the whole entire time. So
yeah.
We didn't go in with a list of picks, but what we did is we just waited to see how it unfolded, and we just kind of made our picks from there. Like our first pick was
Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon, the quarterback from the
back. Then our next pick, I believe, was Herbert.
Yeah, then we took Herbert and we took Tyreek Hill. Those were our first three picks.
Yeah.
All right, how many Jets did you take?
One. One Jet, no Giants.
No Giants? One Jet? What Jet did you allow him to pick? Because
it. Actually, to be honest with you, I think I talked Jeff into we took Elijah Moore. We were looking for a receiver. He was highly valued. And we took Elijah Moore to receiver, and I think I had to kind of talk Jeff into taking him.
Really?
Yeah. No, we both went into it saying we're going to take our hearts out of it, and we're going to pick the best players we can get. Right, Jeff?
Listen, Dom, when it wasn't many people in this league. It was a 10-team league. And when you don't see many Giants and Jets flying off the board, you can't be the only one taking these people.
Yeah, I would tell you, if I noticed it right there, I know Barkley was the second round pick of one team. Other than that, I don't think there were many Giants.
Oh, that's early for him.
Well, to be fair, the guy who took him, he was having some computer problems, and he got auto-picked. So he wound up, his first pick was Jonathan Taylor, and his second pick was based on the highest ranked player. And the computer automatically picked Barkley for him. So, you know, if Barkley comes out as a good year, could be a great pick. Right at this point.
Anybody that you picked as a great year, it's a great pick.
But we'll see. But, so we're doing it together, and we'll have some fun with it, and we'll bring it into the show like we did tonight. And,
get your dicks kicked in this week.
Well, I'm sure Frank Jeffrey feels the same way. So I'm sure that's who we're playing. But listen, Don, I love you to death. Congratulations with the new apartment. I hope everything goes really well. I'm glad for you, my brother.
Well, knock on wood, Tom.
Knock on wood, and don't be a stranger. Love having you every week. It's football season, my brother.
I'll be calling.
All right, pal. We'll catch up to you soon, Dom.
I told you later. Later, fat man.
See you later there, half man. The half man.
The half man returns, Jeff. The half man returns. So, Jeff, let's see.
Did he get his voice box taken out or something?
Oof, yeah. He's, and you know Don doesn't smoke, so it's really, kind of.
I guess that fucking must be cheap gin.
That must be. I don't know. I'm not really sure on that one, but boy, oh boy, Tom's having a rough night with whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't have to ask the game. Okay, I got to get the game up on the screen. So, Jeff, let's go through the league a little bit. We're going to save for the last few minutes. We'll bring the Buffalo up 7-0 over the Rams in the first quarter. Jeff, let's run through the league. I got the everything mapped out. So just quick, we'll go through the NFC East, Jeff. You know, again, another year with who's going to be the guy, who's going to be the team. You know, most publications I've read have the Eagles and the Cowboys either one or two.
When did the Eagles make such a leap forward, man?
Yeah, I think
I'm going as far as the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I saw two guys today in the Post. I think picked them to be in the Super Bowl against the Bills. So I am not high on them. I don't like their quarterback situation. I think there's
the thing I read is that the Eagles have a better team all around except for quarterback. And
yeah.
I'm like, when did this happen?
You're talking about last year being the 29th ranked pass rush. I'm not buying into it. Do I think they can win the East? Yeah, I think theoretically, I don't think the East is a team that a league that anybody can't win, division anybody can't win. I don't put much stock in the Giants or the Communists, I'm not seeing either one of the, whether it's Dallas or Philly, with all their issues, being able to have a big season, Jeff.
Not a big season, but, you know, listen, 9 wins may win that division.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I'm not putting much stock in that. Jeff, let's move over to the AFC North. I think, you know, the Packers' grip on the division – Yeah, I've seen those. I'm sorry. The Packers' grip, Jeff, I think, is not as tight as it used to be. I think Aaron Rodgers is getting old. They lost their best receiver, and they traded away their best receiver, Davante Adams, because they didn't want to pay him. A lot of youth on that team, but you know, nobody proven behind them in the division. I think Detroit will be better. I think Minnesota will be better with the new coaching staff, but I don't believe anybody really challenges the Green Bay Packers for the division.
No, I think it's Green Bay's division to lose. As a matter of fact, I see it Green Bay, Minnesota, Lions, Bears, and
I agree with that.
The Vikings and Lions flip flop.
Yeah, I honestly believe that the Bears are going to probably be one of the worst teams in the league this year.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I think there's coaching issues still. I know there's a new staff in there. I don't think anybody's sold on Justin Fields. There's a lot of issues there. I think the Lions will be better. I don't think you're going to see 10 wins, but I think the Lions will be a better team. They were better last year. I think they'll be better this year.
Justin Fields, real quick.
Yeah.
Let's spend a quick second or two on Justin Fields.
Sure.
Is his career over after this year if he doesn't get better quick?
Well, you know, I say the answer is no, because there's so many teams that are still looking for quarterbacks. You know, I know teams have their quarterback, but, you know, somebody will try to make a reclamation project. I think the problem he has is history has shown that quarterbacks out of Ohio State University do not project well, and he's falling into that trap right now. So is his career over? No, but I think he'll be going the way of the Mitch Trubisky, maybe a backup on somebody's team with the hope that somebody thinks he's a reclamation project.
Oh,
yeah.
We will soon see, because I don't think he's going to be the long-term answer.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think Minnesota, by default, will be the second-best team in that division. I'm just curious to see, with now an offensive head coach, and I don't know if that – does that really matter, Jeff? Like, if you're a defensive coordinator someplace and you come on to the team, to a team that was bad defensive, are you automatically a better team because you're a head coach? Used to be a defensive coordinator?
No, especially since when you look at Matt Patricia,
right,
who was a defensive coordinator in New England, went to do his own thing in Detroit, goes back to New England, now he's the offensive side of the ball. So it's like, what's the point of him being a defensive guru if they're going to put him on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah,
I guess it depends that the best thing to do is to be an all-around knowledge of both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I think if you're a head coach, you need to be the CEO of the company and not be, you know, Rex Ryan, where he didn't give a shit about the offense and he was just going to concentrate on the defense. And listen, the Jets were a better defensive team under Rex. I'll agree. But overall, they were a bad team. I think as a head coach, be a defensive head coach or an offensive head coach, you need to be the coach.
I agree. Okay. I agree. I could see, you know, defense, if you're a defensive coordinator or defensive-minded coach. Or
whatever,
you know, being your forte, then, yeah, maybe you may have picked a better defensive coordinator or maybe you're stronger on defense. But, yeah, as a head coach, you got to be able to know both sides of the ball. You need to know your team. That's what you need to know.
100%. Jeff and Tom here, Hot Rocket Sports, every week, every Thursday, 7 to 9:30. And football season back, and you know that's what this show is built on. We're happy to have everybody here tonight. It's been a busy show. A lot of people checking in with us, which is a lot of fun, Jeff. Have a lot of people stopping by. Hey, Jeff, what's ready for the big gig? You got the big show coming up on the 24th, right?
Yeah, well, every time that we go a couple of days without talking about it, something new happens.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, with new set lists coming out day after day after day, a whole bunch of different shit. It's just like, you know what? I'm looking forward to the 25th. How's that?
Well, the way we're looking forward to it for you. Guys, thanks for checking in. I hope you guys had a great holiday weekend. And as we kick into the fall, we got lots of football. We're going to talk, we're going to run through the league, and then we're going to hit the Jets and Giants schedules, and we're going to make all of our picks before we end the show. So hopefully Jets got a little more energy. We go a little longer tonight. So let's run through the NFC South. Jeff, Buccaneers, Tom Brady's back, so they're better. New coaching staff, new head coach, I should say. Offensive line that's in turmoil. Lots of injuries on it. And no Gronk. You know, I know this division is not great. The Saints are probably the best team beside them, and they got Jameis Winston, no Sean Payton. Jeff, is Tampa still the cream of the crop?
No, and I'll tell you why. They got a bad offensive line.
Yep.
Okay. Tom Brady, who's evidently pissing his wife off, and they're not talking or living together at this point in time, is what I hear.
Okay.
So I hope it plays on his mind. And I hope that the thought of going to this next venture in his life plays on his mind.
Well,
and I'm hoping that he drops back to pass and here comes 300 pounds from his blind side and hits him like a fucking train, you know, derails everything. And then I hope Giselle's standing over him in the hospital and just says, I told you so.
Well, I would tell you that they're still the best team in that division by far. Oh,
no. You know, a lot of pieces ain't there no more.
I got it, but I don't think they're as good as they used to be. What I'm saying is, who's capable of challenging them?
Saints.
Yeah, I'm not buying it yet. I'd have to see this new coaching staff.
It's definitely not going to be the Panthers.
Nice. Right.
Definitely not going to be the.
No, the Falcons are going to be the worst team in football this year.
But it's going to be. What do you call it, though, man? Wow, holy
shit. Saints?
Saints, yeah. Good thing I smoked so much weed when I was younger. The Saints, you know, you got to think of what Winston did last year with Sean Payton.
Yes,
in a couple of games, he was having a phenomenal season. And listen, if they guide him the right way and everything, and then he don't get upset because the Saints were looking to get it into the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, you know, he could come back with a monster year. I mean, 2 years ago, he threw for 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, also 30 interceptions. And then he was having a bit of a comeback year. And let's see what happens this year. But I think that that's the only team in that division that could unseat the Buccaneers. But I just think that there's just too much going on. New coach. I don't think Brady wanted to play for Arians.
Uh-huh.
I think that he wanted to come back and play one more year. I think his wife is giving him shit. I wouldn't be surprised if Brady was to retire in the midst of the year.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't surprise me. That would not, you know, Jeff, that's probably the best prediction so far. I would not be shocked if Tom Brady had some sort of injury or something major and he walked away in the middle of the season. It would not shock me. I'd be surprised, but it would not shock me.
I don't think it's going to even take an injury, bro. I think it's just going to be one of those things where, like, you know what? I just, no. It's just, I can't do this no more. Thank you anyway. Goodbye.
Again, I won't argue that point. I think it's unlikely to happen, but it definitely would not shock me. That's for sure. But again, lots of stuff in that division to talk about. But I still think that they're the class, and we'll make our picks for the divisions in a minute. Jeff, in the NFC South, to wind up the NFC at this point. Here's the thing: can the Rams rebound?
NFC West.
I'm sorry, I'm on a tough night tonight. The NFC West. Can the Rams repeat? I mean, nobody's done it other than the Patriots in a long time. The rest of the division, a lot of question marks. People have the Cardinals at number two. I'm not a big believer in Kyler Murray. I know you're more of a fan of Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, but, every year seems to be a real severe drop in the second half. Trey Lance is starting out there with Jimmy Garoppolo peeking over his shoulder, and the Seahawks are tanking. They'll be fighting the Bears for worst team along with the Atlanta Falcons. Jeff, what's your thoughts on the NFC West?
A lot of different things going on in the NFC West, Tom. You got Matthew Stafford with, elbow problems or some shit? So you got that to worry about. You got Kyler Murray getting all pissed off and then, scrubbing his social media of Cardinals stuff and now being back on the Cardinals with a huge contract. Trey Lance, this one is intriguing. A lot of people have the San Francisco 49ers also advancing to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
I don't see it with Trey Lance playing his first year, but I really don't know why so many people are hell-bent on saying that they have a chance. Some people even have them picked to win, from what I've read.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it's going to be the Rams that easy. I don't think, they're another team that don't have certain pieces.
Yes.
That they just had last year.
I agree.
No more Von Miller, no more, what was that receiver's name? Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, he's out for a while, yeah.
Oh, is he even signed?
You're right. He's not signed by them. That's right, because he's after the injury. Nobody's got him signed.
Yeah, so he's not even playing with anybody as of yet. So it's, there's a lot going on. There's no guarantee that they're going to win. So out of all of those other teams, I would have to give the nod to the 49ers,
I would tell you, you're probably right. Yeah, I think that division's a wide-open division, and I would agree with you that the likelihood, I think they have the best defense. I think the 49ers are probably going to steal that division this year.
It's possible, but we will find out sooner or later.
Absolutely. Again, Jeff and Tom still working it out through the NFL. Jeff, the beloved AFC East, one of the more complex divisions to figure out for me this year. I don't know who's better. I don't know who's worse. Buffalo should be the class of the league and not just the division. So I'm going to put Buffalo at the top. After that, you can have any one of these teams in any one of these positions. I think the Jets can wind up in third place. I'm not enamored with Miami, even though I think Miami got better with, Tyreek Hill and some of the moves they made. But they're still, same as Philly. How well is Tua play this year? The Patriots, I love the way the Patriots played last year, but I've seen nothing but people talking about how their offense is completely regressed. With the new play callers, the guy you brought up before, Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. I don't know how to read, and the Jets, I don't know how to read this division, Jeff.
The Jets could finish anywhere from second to fourth.
All
of those teams could finish second to fourth. But, I hear a lot of bad things about the Patriots, too.
Yeah.
That they're not what they once were last year.
Yeah, agreed.
It makes you wonder, is Belichick going to retire because of it? So I guess, time will tell as far as that goes. As far as the Dolphins go, this is a big year for Tua.
Oh, yeah.
Tua, I can't understand. The guy had an injury a couple of years ago, and it's like, he was drafted high, and then it's like nobody wants to, say anything about this kid good. It's like they want him to fail so they go on to the next because he didn't throw for 9,000 yards in his first season. I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be Buffalo and then the arrangement of anybody else.
Yeah, I agree. I really don't have – again, if I was picking it, I'm going to give the Patriots second only because of their history. But you're right. I could see anybody finishing second through fourth in this division because I just don't know how good these teams are going to be.
No.
Jeff, the AFC North now, another tough division to figure out. I don't know if all these teams are going to be good, if three of them are going to be bad. I have no idea, but I do think the Bengals are still the best team. I think they've tried to fix their biggest hole, which was the offensive line. I think Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and that crowd has another year, and they're better. I think they'll be the class of the division. After that, boy, again, I think the Browns I'll take out of it because Jacoby Brissett for 11 games, and then they're going to try to probably put Deshaun Watson in. I think that'll blow up on them this year. So I think it's a fight between the Ravens and the Steelers. I'll probably give the Ravens the lead in this division as far as coming in second because they have a stable quarterback who can play during the regular season. So, again, Steelers, an interesting – Trubisky's got named the captain. He's a starter. I don't know how long he's going to be there. I would imagine if they get to a slow start, you'll see Kenny Pickett pretty quick.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that one. I think Pickett's going to be the starter before the season's over. I'm actually surprised that they did that to Trubisky.
Yeah.
You know, but when I mean did that to Trubisky, called him, made him the starter and, you know, made him a captain.
Yeah.
I just don't understand that.
Yeah.
I just think they did that for now so that they could say that they have a direction. But I really don't think that's the person they wanted to win the starter job anyway, to be honest with you. I just think that maybe Pickett just wasn't ready for it yet. And they gave it to Trubisky. But we will find that out sooner or later. But I bet you by the end of the season, it's going to be Trubisky riding the bench.
Yep, I would agree with that. Guys, Jeff, let's move over to the AFC South. I think there's another chance for this to be one of the worst divisions in football this year. The Colts should be better because they've got a reasonable facsimile of a quarterback in Matt Ryan. I think that the trade-off between Ryan and Carson Wentz is night and day. If Jonathan Taylor plays the way he did last year, if they play defensively, they'll easily win their division. For the rest of the division, I think the Titans are going to take a huge step back. I think Derrick Henry is not going to be the same player this year. And I think Tannehill comes back to earth. The Jaguars, I think they'll be better under Peterson than they were, obviously, under Urban Meyer. But they're still a long way to go on that team. And the Texans are going to be bad. I don't see it any other way.
I can see that.
So, I'll say Colts and Titans and Jaguars, they'll be one team in the playoffs out of this division. No wild cards in this division.
No, I don't see that either. I think it's the Colts to win. The other teams just aren't good enough to challenge.
Louis, I agree with you. I think Ryan has a good year. I don't think he needs to be great. I think he just needs to be good. I think you'll get a steady diet of Jonathan Taylor, and then he just got to make some plays and not screw it up. So a fumble from Buffalo, and the Rams have the ball in L.A. territory. 13 minutes left in the second quarter. And our running back, Jeff, who we didn't play tonight, thank God, James Cook did the fumbling. So we would have lost a couple points right there.
Nice. Louis Pica, I don't think that the Chargers are a Super Bowl long shot, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think as far as the three big teams in the AFC this year have to be the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Bills, and then everybody else. Maybe the Broncos, maybe. But it's a wild card. But I think that the AFC Championship game is going to be Bills, Chargers, Chiefs, Chargers, something of that nature.
I agree.
Bills, Chargers.
Yeah, I don't think Chargers are a long shot this year. I think they have a legit chance, and probably top three, four teams in the entire league. I would say top three for sure.
I don't know about top three, but.
Well, think about it. Let's say they were third. Buffalo, Kansas City. I think Kansas City takes a step back, and then the Chargers. After that, Cincinnati. Maybe I could put Cincinnati maybe ahead of them. Maybe who else could you put ahead of the Chargers at this point?
Well, I don't know about Cincinnati. I don't think I would take Cincinnati ahead of them. But I'm thinking of grouping in the NFC teams and defeated.
Okay.
It's really. I don't know. I mean, is the best NFC team as good